Thank you, Susan, for that beautiful song, a prayer, grant us peace. Have you ever been on a wild boat ride? Brant stole my sermon earlier. He doesn't know that, but pretty much did. No one's ever been in a wild boat ride? Yeah, some have, yeah. I remember I was in high school and my dad decided we were going to go fishing. We were visiting my brother-in-law and my sister up in Whidbey Island. He was stationed at the naval base up there. So we rented a 14-foot boat, which was kind of silly, and took it out on the ocean. We went through this little place between the mainland of Washington and Whidbey Island called Deception Pass. The name should have told us something. We went through there, it's a 500-foot wide section, and we went through there fine, went out and fished all day long. Didn't catch much of anything or anything that I remember. And we came back, and unfortunately we timed it perfectly coming back so when the tide was coming in. And Deception Pass, when the tide is coming in, that calm passage becomes just like a rapids in a river, just a boiling water. It's just crazy. And we were going through there in a little 14-foot boat. And I thought we were going to die. I thought we were going to sink. But luckily, my dad didn't think we were going to die. And he knew what to do. And he piloted us through there. We made it safely to the other side. But I still remember that journey. We're going to look at a story in the scripture where the disciples were on a boat. And they thought they were going to die. They thought they were going to go down. They were going to sink. But the difference was Jesus was in the boat. And he rescued them. And they learned a lesson about faith. Luke chapter 8. Turn your Bibles to Luke 8 and stand as we read God's word. Luke 8. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He who commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Lord, thank you for your word and for this amazing story that happened in that day with Jesus and his disciples. And we pray today that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, open up our hearts to receive the message that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Right before this journey across the lake, it's the Sea of Galilee. It's also called Lake Kennesaret, same body of water. Right before they headed out across the lake, Jesus had been teaching about how that they needed to listen and receive the word of God and trust him. He used the parable of the soils that we looked at last week, that you need to be that good soil to receive the word of God, trust in it, and let the roots go down deep in your life. Right before this, Jesus' family shows up to visit with him, and the disciples tell him, and Jesus says, my mothers and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. So he's been teaching them about obedience, about trusting him, receiving the word. Now, the disciples here get their test. Okay, after the lecture comes the test, and here comes the disciples' test here. We see on the lake, the Sea of Galilee. It's interesting because the disciples, they'd seen a lot of miracles, right? They'd seen amazing miracles that Jesus had done, but they were always miracles for other people. Now they're the ones in need of a miracle. Now they need the miracle. So this is different in this story. It all begins with the command of Christ. This story is also found in Matthew and Mark's gospel. There we read that it was late in the day when they headed across the lake. Not unusual. Most of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. They were used to going out and fishing at nighttime. That's when they fished. So it's not unusual to go out on the lake late in the day. So Jesus says, we're going on the other side of the lake. The disciples were obedient. They all get in this small fishing boat. The fishing boat is enough to maybe hold 15 people. There's going to be 12 disciples plus Jesus, so at least 13 are going to be in this boat, pretty much full, and they head across the lake. Mark's gospel tells us that there was a whole bunch of other boats that went with them. It wasn't just Jesus and his boat. There's a whole group of boats heading across the sea to the other side. The purpose was ministry. This was not a pleasure ride. Jesus was not trying just to get away from the crowds. He's going to minister to the people on the other side of the boat, of the lake. We read in the next story here in Luke 8 that there's the healing of the demon-possessed man in the region of Gerasenes. Now, so Jesus has a divine appointment with that man on the other side of the lake. He's going there to minister to this guy and to save him and set him free. So the purpose is for ministry. As they go across the lake here, it says Jesus goes to sleep. You know, he's tired. He's human, like we're human. He's tired. He's wore out. He goes to sleep, and the disciples set up the sails and start sailing across the sea to the other side. Now, the promise was given by Jesus that we will make it. He said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. He didn't say, let's try to go to the other side of the lake. He didn't say, we might make it to the other side of the lake. He didn't say, it's a 50-50 chance whether we're going to make it to the other side of the lake, but let's give it a shot. He said, we are going to the other side of the lake. And that's important, because when the storm comes, they should have remembered that, right? Now, wouldn't sound to be too hard. Here's a picture that I took on one of our trips to Israel of the Sea of Galilee, or the lake, whatever you want to call it. It kind of looks like an Idaho lake, doesn't it? It's 7 miles wide, 13 miles long, and it's a beautiful lake. And you can see, every time I've been there, it's been basically like this, really calm, beautiful and calm. The disciples easily could get into the boat and say, this is a piece of cake. Go to sleep, Jesus, we got this. We're going across the lake. We do it all the time. We're going to do this. I can see the other side. We got it. What they needed to remember was when the storm came that Jesus said, we're going to the other side. We need to remember the promises of Jesus, because Jesus knew they were going to make it. They needed to remember that. The important part of the story is the presence of Jesus with us. The disciples did not know it at this moment yet, but the Creator of heaven and earth was sleeping in their boat. They're going to make it. Jesus was with them. The presence of Jesus makes all the difference in a storm. Jesus promised his disciples that he would always be with them. Matthew 28 says, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. He promises them, he promises us his presence. He is with us. He is with them. When you're going through a storm, and some of you could be going through storms right now, remember you're not alone. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. The Creator of heaven and earth is with you. You're not alone. Let's talk about the storms of life. The Sea of Galilee, like I said, when I've been there, it's always been calm. But I understand that it's common for storms to come on that sea. The reason is this. The Sea of Galilee sets at 680 feet below sea level. It is the lowest freshwater lake in the world. No lake lower elevation than the Sea of Galilee. It's the lowest. It's surrounded by tablelands and up above it, high mountains. The highest of those, which isn't very far away to the north, is Mount Hermon, which is over 9,000 feet high. So what happens is, through time, with the water running down the mountain to the Sea of Galilee, ravines have been cut into the landscape. Those serve as great wind tunnels. So when the conditions are just right, this cold mountain way up on top of the mountain races down those ravines toward the Sea of Galilee, hits the warm air and the water of the Sea of Galilee, and there's a storm that erupts, and it is quite a storm, I hear. There's a little video. This is taken from a kind of ship that you would go, if you go sail on the Sea of Galilee, that's the size ship you would be on, and you can see it's bouncing around pretty good. Imagine what it would be like if you were on a little tiny fishing boat in that kind of sea. I mean, it would be scary, and these guys were afraid. They thought they were going to drown as they were on this choppy sea on the Sea of Galilee. Again, it's nighttime. They're experienced fishermen, but they think they're going down. And you can see from this little video that you can understand why that might be the case. You know, storms will come as we follow Jesus. Just because we're followers of Jesus doesn't mean we're exempt from storms or problems in life. Jesus said these words. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Now, you might have trouble. You will. But take heart. I've overcome the world. The disciples might have thought on this night, we're with Jesus. We're going where he wants us to go. Nothing's going to happen to us. Wrong. They were with Jesus, and a storm came, and they were tossed around. Their life went from calm to chaos in just a moment. Has your life ever gone from calm to chaos in just a moment? You get that phone call, and the doctor's report comes back, and it isn't what you were hoping to hear. Or you get a phone call, and a loved one is in a car accident, and they're taken to the hospital, and you race there to be with them. You find out you've lost your job. All of a sudden, there's a storm. We've been going through a storm in our world lately with this coronavirus thing. Storms come, and they come to followers of Jesus as well. So we must prepare for the storms by trusting in him. When a storm comes, it'll reveal where our faith is. Storms even come as we obey Jesus. The disciples were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. The storm didn't come because they were being disobedient. They were being obedient, but they still got caught in a storm. We should live an obedient life, yes, but it doesn't mean we get a pass on the storms of life. They still come. Let's look at the response to the storms of life. The storm is raging in this story. Water's coming into the boat. They think they're going to be swamped. These experienced fishermen thinking they're going down, they're going to die, and Jesus is peacefully sleeping. I don't know about you, but I kind of find it almost funny to think about this. It wasn't for them at all. But here's this wild storm, and everybody thinks they're going to die, and Jesus is sound asleep in the boat. Sound asleep. What an amazing picture. How could he be sleeping at a time like this? Well, again, we know he's tired from ministry. He's a human. He's tired. He's resting there. But I think there's more to it here. I think he is just so trusting in his heavenly Father. He's not worried. The storm isn't going to wake him up. He is peacefully sleeping. That picture of Jesus sleeping in the boat challenges us. Could we have that kind of calm and peace in a storm? The things that lead us to worry put Jesus to sleep. He's got this. He wants to give us that peace that passes all understanding. So yes, so you can sleep in the storm, trusting in him. The disciples, however, are fearful. They're fearful. And I guess we can't blame them if you're in a big storm like that. I mean, it's kind of normal to be fearful. Here's a picture that was painted by the famous painter Rembrandt of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. It's an amazing picture. Someone told me between services that this painting was stolen in 1990. It's never been found. But anyway, it's a famous painting of Rembrandt of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Violent storm. And the disciples were full of fear. But the real problem in the story is not the storm. It's the unbelief in their hearts. That's the real problem. You see, their unbelief was actually more dangerous than the storm. The disciples had seen Jesus do all kinds of great miracles. They'd seen amazing things. They'd seen what Jesus could do. And Jesus was in the boat. But they're afraid. And their fear fueled their unbelief. The disciples then did the only smart thing you could do. They called upon Jesus. They went to Jesus and woke him up. He's sound asleep because the storm isn't waking him up. The water splashing in the boat isn't waking him up. He is really out, sleeping soundly. Luke says, they said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Matthew adds, someone said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Mark says, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So you get the picture. They think they're going down. And they think Jesus doesn't care. He's sleeping. Now, I don't know how you feel when you get awakened from a deep sleep. Are any of you really happy about that? When you get awakened from a deep sleep? Jesus is sleeping so soundly, and he's awakened. But he shows such grace and patience with these guys. You know, he's just so gracious the way he deals with them. What bothered Jesus when he woke up wasn't the storm. It was the lack of faith of his disciples that bothered Jesus. I guess you could say the disciples had a little bit of faith because they did wake Jesus up. They knew where to go. We see an amazing picture of the power of Christ after this. Because what Jesus did, he woke up and he stilled the storm with his words. The scripture says he got up, rebuked the wind and raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. Mark records that Jesus said the words, "Quiet, be still." He talked to the wind. He talked to the waves. And they obeyed him. They obeyed him. "Quiet, be still" is the same words that Jesus used when he was casting demons out of people and they would like to talk. He would say, "Quiet, be still." Same exact words. And so the waves and wind obeyed the words of Jesus, just like the demons obeyed the words of Jesus. Just like dead people obeyed Jesus when he told them to rise up from life, they came back to life. Just as sickness obeyed Jesus when it said, "Be healed," sickness was gone. Just like the fish obeyed Jesus when he said, "Go get in Peter's net so he can catch you." All of creation obeyed the words of Jesus. He stilled the storm with his words. And it was absolutely calm. If you've ever been on a lake when it's been windy and the wind dies down, it takes a while for the waves to go away. They don't go away immediately. But in this story, immediately it's calm. It is a supernatural calm that comes over that water. Amazing, if you can picture that. And then in the quietness of the moment, Jesus challenged the disciples' lack of faith. He looked at them and he said these simple words, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" The most serious storm was not the storm on the sea, but the storm in their hearts. I don't know this for sure, but I think Jesus knew the storm was coming. I think he knew this was going to be a test for these guys. He knew everything that they'd seen, all the miracles, and now here's your test. Are you going to trust me when the storm comes? And he says, "Where is your faith?" He's challenging them to go deeper in their faith in him. And we do the same thing sometimes, don't we? When storms come, we say to Jesus, "Don't you care what we're going through? Are you sleeping? Are you awake? Do you see me?" We think God doesn't see what's going on. We're tempted to doubt. I think the main storyline is not where is God and why is he not helping me, but the real storyline is where is my faith and why am I not trusting him in this time? You see, faith is tested by the storms. If the disciples had never gone through this storm, they would never learn this lesson about the power and the glory of Christ. They would never have learned it on calm water, but they learned it in the storm. God can use storms. I know we don't like storms in our lives, but God uses them. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." God uses storms. Now, the other miracles the disciples saw were for other people. This miracle was for them. It's their turn, their test. They need to learn this lesson about faith. There are lessons that we can only learn through going through a storm. We've just gone through a big storm with this big thing that's been going all over the world with the virus thing. I don't know about you, but I have prayed during this time, "Lord, what do you want to teach us? We're in a storm. What do you want to teach us through this time?" It's a good prayer to pray. Faith is tested by the storms. Faith is trusting in Jesus alone. The disciples at this moment realized they had nowhere else to go. They thought they were dying. They were experienced fishermen. They couldn't trust in themselves. They couldn't trust in their boat. They couldn't trust in the weather. They couldn't trust on anything except Jesus. And so they go to Jesus and wake him up. "Jesus, we're going to drown. We need your help." Faith is only as good as its object. And faith in Jesus is the best we can have because he is the Lord God. Let's look at the response of the disciples. After Jesus calmed the storm, I don't know this for sure, I'm speculating. I think he went back to sleep. He's tired. He wakes up, says, where is your faith? And he's sleeping again. And the disciples are talking on the boat going, what in the world just happened? What in the world just happened? When we read Mark's gospel, he records that they were terrified. Now, I don't know about you, I feel a little sorry for these guys. Think about it. First, they're terrified because they're out on the sea and it's raging and they think they're going to drown. Jesus calms the sea, and now they're terrified that Jesus is in the boat with them. They're terrified. At this moment, they realized they were in the presence of the one who could command the waves and the wind, and they instantly was obeyed. Jesus just did what only God could do. At this moment, the disciples understood that God was sleeping in their boat. That God was sleeping in their boat. And they were terrified. Being in the presence of a holy God, an awesome fear and reverence that they were in the presence of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ in their boat. It says they were amazed, and we'd be amazed too. That word's to describe something you cannot describe. They're amazed. They're wondering what in the world has just happened. It means to be full of wonder, astonishment, and awe, often accompanied by fear and trembling and perplexity and joy. Can you picture them? They're wet, they're tired, and their mouths are wide open going, what in the world just happened? They just saw a miracle, and God is sleeping in their boat. Now, the other people that were in the other boats, they'd experienced the same miracle. They didn't know what happened yet, but they're going to learn, and they're going to be amazed as well. The disciples ask each other, who is this? Who is this? And I believe they began to understand who Jesus is. It might not be a full understanding, but they understand that Jesus just did something that only God can do. You know, it says in Psalm 89, O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Isn't that what Jesus just did? Stilled the sea? Another Psalm, 107. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Jesus spoke to the storm, and it stopped. In the letter that Paul writes to the Colossians, speaking of Jesus, he says, in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, is in the boat with them. There's no reason to be afraid. They can trust him. Now, if you read on in this story, guess what? They make it to the other side. But they're not the same men who got on this side of the lake. This changes them, this experience of seeing the power and the glory of Christ on that boat. Still more to learn, but they're changed guys when they get off the boat on the other side. So let me ask you this question. Have you heard the words of Jesus in your storm? Be quiet, be still. Because he says the same things to us. When we're going through a storm, trust me, he says. Trust me, be quiet, be still. Trust me, Jesus will still the storms in our hearts. We might still have to experience a storm in life sometimes, but it'll give us peace so that you can sleep in the storm. You can trust in Jesus. I don't know about you, when I see that picture of Jesus sleeping in the boat, I want that to be me. Can you picture yourself sleeping in the boat during the storm? I think Jesus wants to help us to get to that place where we can trust him so much that even when the storms come, we're at rest. We're at peace, trusting in him. We're going to sing a song together in closing here today and give you a chance to pray if you need to pray this morning. But this song is kind of goes off of what Jesus said, be still and know that I am God. It's from Psalm 46. And in those times when troubles come, we need to hear the word of the Lord, be still and know that I am God and that he is with us. You might be here today and you might be going through something that you would call a storm. As we sing this song, if you need to come pray, come. Jesus is with you. Come, trust him. Let him give you that peace that passes all understanding. Let's stand together.